officers. I'm happy to welcome you all to our conference, Populism as Movement and Rhetoric. The word of welcome of the Faculty of the Humanities at the University of Jyväskylä will be given to you by Dean of the Faculty, Minna-Riitta Luukka, please.
I might say a few words. I feel like a singer with this microphone. A few words about our university. This building has a special meaning in the history of this university, since it was the main building of its predecessor, namely the first Finnish-speaking teacher training college established by Uno Sungnaeus in 1863. He also wanted to give women an opportunity to educate themselves as teachers, and that was seen as a radical idea at that time. Conservative groups were against the idea, and I'm quite sure that some populist voices were heard as well, since the opponents were, for example, worried about the college would be only a marriage office or give women too much independence in their lives. However, Signeus won the argument and the teacher training college was established. This was the first opportunity for Finnish women to become teachers and acquire a highly respectable and esteemed profession in our society. Especially during the early days, this was the place where many gifted women studied and became later very influential in our society. In 1963, the teacher training college was renamed as University of Jyväskylä, and it has developed to a multidisciplinary university combining education, natural sciences, humanities and social sciences, sports and health sciences, as well as economics and business administration and information technology. We have 7 faculties and the number of staff is 2,700. We have 15,000 degree students who come all from all over Finland and abroad as well, from some 100 countries. Each year about 2,000 new students are admitted according to the number of master degrees conferred, our university is one of the largest universities in Finland. The faculties are located in 3 campuses. This is the main campus area where human sciences are located, and the other 2 ones are situated some 10 minutes walking distance from here at the lakeside. Several buildings of this main campus have been designed by famous Finnish architect Alvar Aalto. The Faculty of Humanities, with its 3,300 students and 300 faculty members, is one of the oldest and largest faculties of this university. In its research and teaching, the faculty concentrates on humans who create culture and traditions, establish communities, and interact with each other. The fields of study represented in the faculty include languages and communication, arts, music, culture, and history. Our university, as all universities in Finland, are reforming their structures into larger units. And on Tuesday this week, the university board decided to reduce the number of faculties to 6. And in this process, the Department of Social Sciences is going to be part of our faculty, the Faculty of Humanities. This will give us even more opportunities to deepen our multidisciplinarity. Our university has recognized 5 profiling areas of research and education, and one of them is closely connected with the theme of this conference, namely the area of languages, culture and communities in global change processes. The university aims to contribute to various sectors of the society and seek solutions to current challenges such as preventing social exclusion and issues of increasingly multicultural Finland. As you can easily see, the theme of this conference is very interesting and important in regards to these profiling areas and themes. Even though populism is not a new phenomenon, it has become more visible in many countries. It seems to me that there are no areas of life or no institutions that can totally escape it. Anti-immigrant voices are raised, migrants and other minorities are seen as threats to our societies. Multiculturalism is seen as a challenge instead of seeing it as an opportunity. New kind of populist parties have strengthened their positions, and public debates are common and intense, just to mention a few examples. Even higher education institutions, at least in Finland, have recently received their share of this anti-intellectual populism. Traditionally, education has been highly valued in Finland, and one of the aims of the previous governments was that 75% of Finns should have a university degree. Nowadays, this is not seen as that important. Many politicians have stated that lower degrees would be enough for many professions. Universities are seen as key players in innovation and economic growth, in addition to, or sometimes even instead of, their traditional mission of research and education. In this line of thinking, especially humanities and social sciences, cultural studies are challenged and seen as a luxury we possibly can't afford. A few months ago, Finland's Minister of Education and Culture wrote an open letter to all Finnish universities, setting out her plans. She would like to see a smaller and more efficient higher education sector with fewer universities. Harking back to Thatcherism, the minister urged Finnish universities to become the best in the world in a certain area, or certain areas, to specialize and to use resources more efficiently. She also accused universities for not being at the top of various ranking lists, which are becoming more and more important in current debates. The aim is to become more market-driven and competitive. The neoliberal ideology is becoming more and more common in discourses dealing with higher education. Finnish media has paid a lot of attention to universities recently. In a TV program, the Prime Minister looked down on professors and discounted their opinions. The Minister of Treasury said in an interview that there are only three reasons for a person to become a professor, namely June, July, and August, referring to long holidays. The metaphor of universities as ivory towers is not a new one, but it has become more and more popular recently. This all has led to many populist discourses and comments in the media and in the parliament as well. I do not want to say that there is no room for change in universities, but it's interesting to notice that the rhetoric of huge expenses, confrontations, otherness and suspiciousness in those discussions resemble in many ways the rhetoric of opposing, for example, migration. Maybe a new kind of branding or strike back of civilization is what we need. Maybe we need more research that concentrates on anti-populist discourses to counterweight the populist ones. Maybe we also need positive discourse analysis in addition to critical one in order to make the world a better place. Isn't that the reason to choose a research career, not the assumed long holidays? Finally, I would like to thank each of you for coming and bringing your expertise and opinions to this conference. And of course, I would like to thank the organizers for making it possible. I hope that these 3 days will be a memorable, highly dialogical, and inspiring event. I wish you good luck with your important work.
I start my brief opening words with an understatement, namely that our conference is about something that's very topical at the very this moment. Populist political movements have gained a considerable amount of new visibility on the political scene in European countries in the past 10 years and so already, and all the more so at this moment. economic recession and the refugee situation especially have given rise to populist protests and appeals to traditional cultural values. Such appeals typically combine anti-elite stances and anti-immigrant attitudes with nationalist overtones. It can be said that the emergence of populism has changed the political and cultural universe of discourse quite drastically and produced new dividing lines altogether on the European political map. And as we have seen recently, this is not limited to Europe, as the ongoing presidential primary elections in the United States show striking similarities with European political populism. This two-day conference explores populism from a dual perspective, both as a political movement, or rather a set of movements, and as political rhetoric, with a focus on the relationship between the two. How does rhetoric boost and actually constitute populism, and what kind of opportunity structures have enabled the rise of populist discourses and rhetoric? The conference is arranged by the Department of Art and Cultural Studies here at the University of Jyväskylä, and therein by the Academy of Finland project, research project, which bears the same title as this conference, namely Populism as Rhetoric and Movement. The project is ending at the end of this month, and there will be at least three book form publications coming out of the project, and at least one of those in English, as well as a number of scholarly articles. Before I start, I want to pose one question that has bothered me personally in connection with the work on populism that we have been doing during the past 3 years. Namely, what is the significance of academic research in this new political and cultural situation characterized by the emergence of populist movements? One possible way to answer this, it's arguable, but possible way to answer this might be that academic research should not be just another site for cultural and political debates brought in from other fields, but a place where concepts and issues can be reframed so as to show us ways from the kind of cultural and political impasses that seem to be so difficult at present. We, the organizers of this conference, look forward to hearing from so many of you from very different contexts, how you see the possibilities of such reframing.